Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. I got a little bit excited there, jumped the gun, because we've got a great guest coming on. Sam had to reel me in. But anyway, speaking of Boer Trekkers, you know, everybody that listens to this show, you know we dedicated our show to the Boer Trekkers, the Afrikaners of South Africa. We honor especially the ones in 1838 that fought that battle there on the Nkomo River, now named Blood River. People that have been listening to the Political Cesspool since day one, you know all about that battle. We have a genuine Boer Trekker owner as our guest. We're going to bring him up in just a few seconds. But we were speaking about devilish powers. Jacob tried to told you people that when I tried to raise the alarm to tell you how serious the situation is here in the United States is, the Antifa, not only the Black Lives Matter, not just the blacks, but the white, self-hating, Luciferian Bolsheviks are screaming for our blood. It is not hyperbole. If you look back and see what's happened in South Africa, and we have a fellow right here now who is from South Africa, and he's going to tell you, he's going to dispel any myths that you have that we've been talking hyperbole. How are you doing tonight, Jason Bartlett?
Hey, I'm very well, thank you yourself. Long time no here. God bless, and how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. We have another fellow with us tonight, Jacob Moondog Tyler. We've been manning the ship tonight. Hopefully, Matt the Mole will be on another week or two. Me and Matt the Mole and some other guys rode to Charlottesville. Jacob Tyler was there too. And we saw up close and personal what went on in Charlottesville with the Antifa. And that's going on. That's almost 3 years ago. We went up there with another Afrikaner, Simon Roche, whichever way you want to say it. And he was telling us 3 years ago that what's happening now, he foresaw it. He said, get ready. They'll say you drive the wrong car, you eat the wrong food, you socialize with the wrong people, everything you do is wrong, you drink the wrong soda pop. And what they're out is, they're out for the end game, Jason, is to exterminate all white people on the face of the earth, like they are doing in South Africa. That's my assessment of the situation. Jason, am I right or wrong? And you take over, fella. Take us away.
Unfortunately, it's very, very true what you're trying to say. It's no longer a hidden agenda anymore. The agenda is out and apparent, and it's satanic, and they've attacked the family in spiritual terms. They've broken down the man, the masculinity, and they empowered women more, and then they empowered the children more, and they've damaged the cycle of the way the Lord God made it. And now they're coming after us. Like I've warned them before, I said to them, the statues will be torn down. I've seen this all happen in South Africa. The next thing they're going to be doing is they're coming to your land. They're going to take them land they want. They're going to come after churches, after Bibles. And because this is the Antichrist, there's no two ways about it. It's in broad daylight that this is the Antichrist, because everything that you can do in this world, you may do or say anything, but you're not allowed to be a Christian. And the times are here. The times is where you're going to have to, as an American, stand up and say, I support myself as a Christian, and I want to worship the Lord openly, not behind hidden doors, the way they're trying to force us by closing churches with this whole coronavirus, political virus. And it's absolutely incredible what's happened, and it's expedited from a slow speed. It's an incredibly quick speed, and I've seen this all before. I'm only 33 years old, but I grew up in South Africa, and I watched the beautiful nation fall, and it always being devoured by hatred and a false sense of racism. The everyday people on the streets don't have the hate, but the government spreads the hate so badly that it's going into the creeks in South Africa, and it's happening exactly in America too now.
Oh, well, excuse me, y'all. I've had a little dead air there. I didn't know it was a malfunction. You know what, Jason? We were talking about, and you pretty well summed it up, back to what we said. No matter where you go in the world, whether you have, we have Christians all over the world. To make a point, we talked about this the last hour. Here in the United States of America, we have yellow Christians that are like, you know, Chinese, I guess you call Koreans, Filipinos. We have brown Christians, which are from India, Mexico. We have red Christians, which are, American Indians. We have white Christians. We have every color that there is of human beings. But here in the United States, my dear guest, my dear brother Jason, the only people under attack by the Luciferian, Bolshevik, Zionist, Jewish, communist are white people. We're the only white, we're the only group that's under attack like that. And Jacob and myself, Jacob said, Tyler, my co-host and I, he said, and I agree, and I'm going to ask you if you do, that the reason the white people are under attack so much is because white people, whether people like to hear it or not, white people have been the ones that have carried the gospel of the Lord, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to all corners of the world. We are the messengers of Jesus Christ. No, I've never seen a Mexican missionary or a black missionary here in the United States. But am I right or wrong, Jason?
Yes, you're pretty much right, I would say. I mean, obviously there would be details towards that. But yes, I do believe that's the correct answer, because we obviously hate it because we are excelling the name of Christ, because you will be persecuted for the name of Christ. So we obviously are excelling the name more. However, the very white people that we talk about, the same white people are also trying to destroy this country and the backbone of America. But yes, we are severely under attack. I would definitely agree. And it's not going to get any friendlier. I can promise you that out of firsthand experience.
You know, Jacob, before we go to Jason, Tyler, you know, now you've seen... I know. I hope people don't think I'm repeating myself or kicking a dead horse, but I want to make absolutely clear. You just said it's not going to get any better. I would say probably even before apartheid was dismantled in South Africa, I don't know when that was, probably before you were politically aware because you're only 33 years old. But things got, and you can correct me anytime, things got steadily worse every year. And to the point now that the blacks in the government there are actually, in fact, when blacks control the government there, what's the population of the blacks there? 90% or greater in South Africa?
Yes, about 90%. Yes.
Well, they're screaming for a white blood. They're drawing white blood every day, and we mentioned that's the same way here in the United States. What's alarming here in the United States? It's similar to South Africa, where y'all have the Rainbow Nation there in South Africa. Some of those people, I want to ask you, well, we're going to a break. We'll come right back. I'm going to ask you a question. We'll go over to Jacob Tyler. Hang on, people. I'm going to ask the question when we come back from the break, and we'll go to Jacob Tyler and back to Jason Bartlett.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys of the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, welcome right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm your host, one of the hosts, with Jacob Power. My name is Eddie Lombardier Miller. And we're going to go right now because I don't want Jacob Tyler hanging on too long. Jacob, you've been listening to the narrative, to the spit, to the monologue, dialogue, whatever you call it. Would you like to ask our dear guest any questions? But first of all, people, I want you to know we have Jason Bartlett on. He has was born and raised in South Africa. He's over here in the United States now. He started in Texas some many months ago trying to walk to Washington, D.C., walking on foot, mind you, to draw attention to the atrocities of South Africa that we just referenced a minute ago. But the coronavirus and storms and everything else has shut him down. Now, with that information, with that thrown out there, Jacob, Tyler, do you have any questions for Jason Bartlett, our war tracker?
First off, I've been hearing a lot about you, Jason, and I'm thrilled to actually make your acquaintance finally in this limited capacity. So I do hope that we'll have more opportunities to talk down the road. But I certainly do have a question I'd like you to address. One of the things that we hear people here in the U.S. say quite a lot is that they're not really that concerned about the direction things are going in, and not to misrepresent them. I mean, it's the people that I'm talking about here, they do have a healthy amount of concern, but they have a certain kind of almost a flippant attitude when it comes to consideration of the actual logistics and the nuances and the multiple layers of significance of a scenario where things hit the fan, as it were. And one of the things that people commonly say here is, oh, I'm not worried about the government getting too out of hand here. We got so many secret allies in the military and this, that, and the other thing. I'm quite sure that if things ever go that way, you know, we're going to have a lot of people that come out of the woodwork in our favor. And they say this when you point out how craven most people are politically, you know, how even with all this pressure that's on us here in the U.S., most people are more concerned about virtue signaling than just standing up for people that are actually being oppressed. And so the question that I'm working towards with you here is, I have heard stories about how in the early days of South Africa, when the apartheid-era government fell to Mandela and the ANC and all of that, that there was, you know, it was hardly a situation where it went down without a fight. There was actually quite a struggle, but there was a great deal of treachery and betrayal that went on within the government itself that basically ensured Mandela and the ANC's victory. And this is a very sad reality. We see this all throughout history going on, too. And I think it's just something that's relevant to consider in comparison to our own, because we're dealing with human nature. We're dealing with people that are living in fear and not abiding by the scriptural premise of, to live as Christ and to die as gain. So while I don't doubt that we do have many people in various sectors, not just the military, that are our allies and would, if the chips were down, make the right decision, I'm unsettled sometimes at just how much confidence people have in something that we don't even really have any direct proof for. We don't know how many of these people are there and whatnot. And so I was hoping that you might comment a little bit on that aspect of the history of the fall of the South African government to the ANC, namely like all the betrayal and stuff that went on in that government itself as a sort of, warning and something to consider for all the people that are just a little too optimistic for my comfort when it comes to assuming that all the people that we're going to need to help us are already there and they're just waiting for the right moment.
Yeah. Jacob, wonderful to meet you as well and get acquainted too. What you've just asked me now is, I will try sum it up in the simplest of forms, because I don't have to talk about history. I can actually talk about what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And yes, in short, the history is exactly like the American government is corrupt now within the swamp is very deep. So was South Africans. They were working hand in hand. It was about power, and it was about pride, and it was about power and money. So, and that concept will bring anybody down. Now, the statement that you made that, not many people are too worried, and they're very optimistic about people coming out the cracks and so forth. I understand that, because I grew up in a country that was promising me the whole time when I was young. Every white gentleman that was there used to, and still until today, says, yeah, one day we're going to stand together and take the country back. One day we're going to stand together and take the country back. But what they don't realize is this communism and this socialism and this satanic agenda is like cancer. It slowly takes your freedoms, and it slowly takes small amounts. And then you sit, and that cancer is so big, you cannot walk. And you are attacked, and you've got nothing left. And how they've done that is they've attacked the masculinity. So they've taken that hunger, and they've instilled fear into the man, actual men, physical men created by God. They've instilled fear into them and manipulated them that they don't stand up ever. Exactly like Cyril Ramaphosa about 40 years ago stated, who is now our president, stated that we will put the South African whites into a... like a boil them in the pot like a frog. We will slowly boil them so they won't jump out and run away, because they still need our tax money. And that's exactly what's happening over there. If I speak to a gentleman that's double my age now in South Africa, I can almost guarantee you he will say to me that one day we will stand up, and we will stand up against it. That optimism is a false and fake hope that's produced by the actual enemy. Not by ourselves, but the enemy has produced that. They've given them this false hope the whole time, because nobody does anything. And that's my warning to Americans, is if you don't nip this in the butt immediately with the power of God, stand up as Christians. If you can't stand up anything, at least stand up under the one God and one nation under God, and stop what is going on, because it is evil. And they are... right now, luckily for me, I'm very relaxed for this, because I know the Lord God has overcome this world. But we still doesn't mean we must sit on our backsides and do nothing and be trampled over. God doesn't need us to stand up for Him, but we can stand up for ourselves and for the Christianity and be proud of who we are. We can't be the most open Christian country in the world, but all of a sudden we're going to be starting to become like under Stalin, where you have to hide yourself. Or you have to run away. It's time to stand up and defend yourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything. Because the Antichrist is here, and he's apparent, and he's between us, and he can see him. And he's in your government, he's on your television, he's in everything. And he's attacked masculinity, and nobody is going to be strong enough to stand up. They make empty promises, because the media... they are scared about who they are. It's about pride and hedonism. Everybody feels insulted. if I stand up and then someone calls me a racist, I feel insulted. Where I shouldn't have to feel that. I should know that is absolute bollocks what they're talking.
You know, Jason, I have a question. I'm going to reference it almost into a statement. Now, I have some of my League of the South brothers. They're only air with us once in a while. And they think that I'm getting a little bit too hot. But I want to ask you a question. Now, here in the United States, do you think white people's population, are we going to get stronger tomorrow? Are we going to be stronger next year? And I'll tell you this, in 29 states of the United States, last year or two, the population of the whites, the birth rate was exceeded by the death rate. I'll ask you, Jason Bartlett, when will white people, white Christians in the United States be stronger? When will we be more ready to fight? And what's this signal we're supposed to get from some of my league brothers to say that we'll get this signal and people are going to tell us that'll be the time to fight? When is the time to stand up and fight, Jason?
The time has already passed. You've already let the devil within your doors because we've let our guard down and we've let them nibble at every little thing with LGBTQ and all these things. We've let them nibble and get further. So the time has already happened and it's time right now.
But Jason, can you stay over another segment or you got to go now?
I can do it.
Your call. you want to stay over? Okay. People will be right back with Jason Bartlett. Just after this commercial, we'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump continues to suggest that the defund police movement is just a fad that will simply fade away over time.
We stand with the incredible men and women of law enforcement. We will never, ever defund our police, okay? That I can tell you. We're not defunding police. Well, I assume this is going to be a fad. We'll call it a fad, but it's not something that will work very well, that I can tell you.
In some cities, including Minneapolis, where the killing of George Floyd in police custody first sparked the unrest, the city council moved to completely disband the city's police force. In other major cities, like New York and Los Angeles, lawmakers continue to move to redirect funding away from police departments and toward other social services. Stay updated with everything going on around the world at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Donald Trump has officially commuted the sentence of longtime advisor Roger Stone, who was found guilty of seeking to stop congressional and FBI investigations into alleged ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Stone was sentenced in February to 3 years and 4 months in prison after a trial late last year that found him guilty on all seven felony charges brought by special counsel Robert Mueller. Thousands of Chinese citizens have reportedly come into the United States since President Donald Trump restricted travel on foreign nationals in January, arriving from China after the coronavirus outbreak. According to a recent report by the Associated Press from the United States Commerce Department, over 8,000 Chinese nationals and foreign residents of Hong Kong and Macau have entered the United States over the last 3 months. More than 600 flights have brought in travelers from these areas after the president announced the travel ban in late January, and it was enacted on February 2nd. Remember, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com.
Well, people, we're right back from the break. I've had this computer fear for forever, and I just found out I have a mute button on the sucker. But anyway, Jason, continue on what you were talking before we were interrupted by the break. I had asked you, Jason, when was the time to fight? You said it's past time. I guess.
Well, if you take that, a look what's already happening in America. Is it Christian or the LGBTQ movement that they're forcing our children to learn in Austin, Texas, for example? Isn't that part of the South? That's as South as you can get. And have you seen what they're teaching the children from 6, 7, 8 years old? That is ungodly, and it is not of this of our God. It is our enemy. I mean, it is Satan teaching them about these sexual acts that they do with other men and other women. It is horrific and it is horrible. Were we not meant to defend more against that several years ago? We've already let the enemy in. It is now time to stand up, not yesterday, not today. The time is right now. We've already missed the party, but why are we too ashamed? It's because a lot of the churches are part of the enemy. But we need to separate ourselves and say, okay, I don't mind if you're in America, not are you a Christian? Are you looking after this country? Do you defend the Lord God Almighty? Because the American way and the Christian way are very, very similar, because America was founded on Christian values. And we've deceived ourselves by slowly giving in. It's time to say no to things.
Jacob, what do you say about that, fella? It's Jacob Tyler.
Amen. Yeah, no, it's part of the problem too. And, you know, I'm not saying this just to be negative, folks. Nor was I saying what I was saying earlier about when I referenced the unsettling amount of optimism I see in other people. I'm very much the glass is half full, excuse me, kind of guy. I'm not criticizing anyone for having optimism. But optimism has to be grounded in reality, or else it's what we would call a fool's hope. And what Jason is talking about here is a dynamic where American Christendom has turned away from the God of our fathers. We have abandoned our posts or just gone asleep at the wall. You know, when I say turn away from the God of our fathers, I'm talking about this in the sense of abdicating duties. For a great many people, it's as dramatic as that. But I mean, even those of us who are devout Christians, those of us who have gone asleep at the wheel and allowed these things to come to be on our watch, you know, in many ways, that's on us. Not to be too melodramatic, not to be too hard on anybody in particular, okay? I'm just speaking of in general. And we have to recognize that there is a history in our history of God using calamity to judge his people, to bring his people back to where they need to be. We see it with ancient Israel in the Bible, with Assyria and Babylon, and the you know, multiple times that Israel was carried off into captivity. That is to say, true Israel, not speaking of the modern nation of Israel today, or speaking of true biblical Israel, whom God said he knew alone of all the families of the earth, and through whom he said he would bless the rest of the world and use Israel to be a light to the nations. So, and those covenants were in perpetuity, folks. You know, there was no expiration date on those, so that stuff still applies today. And so we are, you know, we say our motto is one nation under God, but we are one nation under judgment right now, and we have to recognize
Jason,
that.
Jason, let me ask Jason a quick question, because we can't have him that much longer. Jason, did South Africa, did the Voortrekkers, the Afrikaners, did y'all turn your back on God? Why are y'all suffering all these calamities now?
If I take a look at it, it's the two things that I can come off by that I can see from a teenager and growing up is alcoholism and sexual immorality is one of the downfalls of the people, because there's a lot of sexual activity between relationships. And my dad being a pastor, I've seen it amongst the town that we live in. I've seen it amongst other cities that we live in. and alcoholism. Those two things specific in South Africa, and also treachery, treason against our people for pride. But, you know, you only have to look at the Bible to see the answers. The wisest man, I'm pretty okay with wisdom. Maybe someone else is pretty okay. Some people have got a lot of wisdom, but there was no one wiser than Solomon. And he stated that there's nothing new under the sun. So everything that's going on now, there's answers for in the Bible. We have to look at it. And the word that was given to me is for Philippians 6-7. You know, I can't know it. I don't know it by word. However, you know, he looks after your mind. If you come to him with thanksgiving and joy in your heart and you pray and ask him in supplication, he will look after your mind. And that's what we need right now. We don't specifically need the physical protection right now, but we need the spiritual and our mind to be protected, because that's what they're attacking. And yes, that's what I did see in South Africa. There was a bit of a turning back on God, but the scale that the people are turning back on God in America is scary. But obviously there's so many, and I agree so well with Jacob right now, because in this calamity, this is why I do what I do with excitement, is because my hope is not in this world. My hope is within Christ, who died on the cross and was resurrected for us. And his second coming is coming, and we will be saved, and we will rejoice, and the cherubims will fly, and we will sing, O Majesty, and it will be a great time. So, but for now, we're all given, we're members of the body of Christ, and for now, I must soldier on and ignite certain people that God has sent me, same as people, God has sent other people to ignite me. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, Jason, tell the people what you are doing, and where are, if you're at liberty, can you tell them about where you are? Have you started back on your walk to Washington, D.C.?
All right. If you have. I'm going to get excited because I've got a complete update. So obviously I survived through a lot of pain, a bit of torture, some attacks, as well as a tornado, and then the coronavirus hit, and I thought that it was going to be arrogant to continue my walk. So I paused my walk, thinking that I would be walking again in two weeks. I walked a total of 1,057 miles, and I decided to go back to Texas so we didn't get locked down in quarantine or anything. And then all of a sudden the coronavirus got out of hand, as they used it as a political tool. And then the Black Lives Matter hit, and then I finally decided I didn't get a word from God, and then I got just a overwhelming sensibility of peace over my heart from the Lord. And I will actually be doing, I've only got a 500 miles left to walk, but I've changed it up a little bit. I'm now going to be taking a bicycle, pulling a trailer in remembrance of the Fuhr Trekkers in South Africa, and I'm going to double the distance, and I'm going to cycle 1,000 miles camping on farms and alongside the road and state parks. And every day going live on Facebook and doing interviews from Fox News to you, as well as to many around the world. And I'm going to just glorify the name of God, as well as help bring attention to the July 18th. There's a march in South Africa against farm murders, and we're going to stand up against our genocide against our people. So I'm now calling it the Buffalo Boer Track, because I, as South Africans always are, and as our people are, we always better ourselves. So I came back, and I'm going to be pulling a wagon, and it is still for the glory of God, and I will proclaim and never back down from who I believe in.
So, Jason, one final question for me. Listen, now, how close are we here in the United States to, like, farm murders? We do have some great farms. You've seen in the American South, Southwest, you work on a farm for a while. How close are we to farm murders and people being mowed down in the streets, white people, even more so than they are right now, because they're doing it pretty much now with impunity? How close are we to just mass murder, from what you've seen, Jason?
It's very difficult to say. Remember, South Africa, for example, the demographics and the layout, like the farms are very secluded. I'm busy farming for people that I know now as well. But there's a community in these farms. You can see the neighbors. So it's not going to be as easy. But there is definitely going to be a pinpoint hatred on people, because also the people that want to murder, they're such city slickers. They can't really, leave their phones. So they end up living in the cities. That's why your violence is so high. Look at Chicago on Father's Day. It was 102 murders. I mean, it's absolutely, it's a war zone. And it might not be white, but what they're doing is they're in these cesspools and they're going to be start killing. It is extremely difficult to say that when this will start. But I do believe they will start nitpicking because they do it like the South Africans do it. They do it slowly. One will happen, and then two will happen, and then three will happen, and then four. Then by the 10th one that's happened, you're so used to it that it's not reality to you. So you just put it in a compartment and you put it there because it doesn't directly touch you. But really, people need to start looking after themselves, and they need to defend. And if they can't stand up for themselves, then they must stand up for the Lord God Almighty.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. And listen, please stay in touch. You're welcome to come on this show anytime you want to. Thank you so much, Jason. Well, people, you've just been listening to a Boer Tracker. You've heard it from the horse's mouth of what's going on in South Africa and what's going coming to this country in a city near you. Hang on. Going back to our final segment.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, we're back, folks, for our final segment here, and we're going to bring Jacob Tyler back, old Moondog. That was a great guest we had. I tell you, it's really scary what's going on here, people. And talk about, listen, we talked about things to do. We always like to talk about solutions on this show. Well, Jacob, as you well know, Jacob sent me a great clip about a week ago, and Sam's getting ready to play that clip. It'll give you some hope on how to respond to people when they start criticizing you, dogging you for being white, if you're a white supremacy, a white privilege, et cetera, et cetera. Sam is going to play that clip, and as soon as we get through playing that clip, we're going to go to Jacob with some questions. Go ahead, Sam.
We often hear that we must pay for alleged wrongdoings of our imperial past by submitting to massive immigration into our homelands. This argument depends upon white guilt. Some of our people get a rush from indulging in ethnomasochism. But we can smash this politically correct charade simply by refusing to apologize for who we are. I'm not sorry for the colonization of indigenous peoples. After Europeans left, they went back to their third world ways. Moreover, these people create nothing new, except for dictatorship, cannibalism, poverty, and civil war. I'm not sorry for apartheid. After the native Africans took control, they slaughtered the whites in the area just as they did in Haiti. Have a look at what happened under Robert Mugabe. I'm not sorry for slavery. Every race on the planet has practiced slavery at one point or another. More whites were abducted and enslaved by Muslims than the number of blacks enslaved by whites. It was whites who founded the abolitionist movement and fought to end slavery. Today, various tribes in Africa continue to enslave each other. Yet they say there's only blood on the hands of Europeans. If anything, under white rule, third world countries had a higher standard of living than they could ever produce on their own. After we leave you to yourselves, what we build for you is destroyed. We are not dependent on you. If anything, you need us. I'm not sorry for the Crusades. Our ancestors courageously fought to drive Islam out of Europe. If it weren't for their valor, our entire civilization would be under Islamic tyranny. That same heroic spirit still flows through the blood of our people today. Ethno-nationalism among Europeans is rising in the face of invaders. I'm not sorry for imperialism. The Mongols built the largest empire in human history, but nobody suggests that they should be denied their sense of cultural and racial identity. The issue isn't that our ancestors were imperialists, it's that we were the best at it. We came, we saw, we conquered. Such allegations against the entire white world are just excuses to rob us of our once prosperous homelands. Saudi Arabia insists that Europe should take in more refugees when they're a rich oil state capable of housing millions of them. Instead of importing their own kinsmen to their country, they offer to build mosques in Germany. Liberals will claim they're standing for human rights, but the minute you tell them whites have the right to self-determination, they scream, "You're part of the problem," thereby embracing the cultural and demographic genocide of a race that has created the very civilization they take for granted. There's no point in apologizing anyway. They merely see it as a sign of weakness and will attack you even harder. The only way to stand up for yourself and your people is to refuse to apologize. We're not sorry for what our ancestors did. We're not sorry for who we are today. No apologies, no regrets, no doubt, no compromise. We're not sorry.
That's a wonderful clip. And you know what, Jacob? Moondog sent that clip to us, and Sam so graciously loaded. Matter of fact, Sam, we didn't send that clip to him until probably 20 minutes before the show. Being a wizard that he is, he got that sucker on there, I mean, right off the bat. You know, Jacob, you know, earlier we were talking about what's going on in Seattle. I'm going to ask you some questions. Back it up with this clip that you just sent us. And they said, we have to get rid of our whiteness. Okay, well, I'll second that. I think we should get, you know, whites are, and I'm going to run this by you, whites are empathetic, sympathetic. We have altruistic to a pathological level. So we need to get rid of all of our kindness. We need to take penicillin away from people because, you know, white men develop penicillin. They developed automobile. They developed roads. They developed gasoline. These white cooks that were texting me earlier this week talking about how we need to have Black Lives Matter. We need to support them. I was saying the very cell phone you own texting me was developed by a white man. So we need to get rid of aid-dependent children. We need to get rid of food stamps. We need to get rid of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jacob, back to you, fella. What do you think about that? Maybe we need to go get more like blacks, you know, and killing 150, 120 of ourselves or blacks in the city, just like Jason said in Chicago. You know, they'll kill 100 of them. There'll be 100 blacks killed in South Chicago. That's every Saturday night. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Oh, well, it's very true. And here's the thing, folks. If you're really that concerned about the well-being of all people, then just look at history and stop apologizing for the alleged crimes of your ancestors and stop apologizing for being white. These people throughout the world, you know, the European and kindred peoples have been the greatest benefactors to the rest of the world throughout history. That's not a supremacist statement. That's just a fact. Just look at history. Show me. I'm not saying that nobody else does any charity at all, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying show me the comparable out-of-Africa organizations that provide foreign aid to the rest of the world, like the U.S. and Western countries do. Show me the Asian countries that do this. You know, you'll have instances where some charity is extended. I'm not denying that or denying anyone the credit that they're due. I'm just saying there is nothing comparable to this. So if these maniacs get what they, I'm not denying that or denying any suffering worldwide, then we have seen in centuries. So that's part of the insanity of it, is they're shooting, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're so blinded by their vindictive hatred of white people that they don't know what's good for them. And if they ever get their wish, then they're going to be in for a world of hurt. You know? And so, yeah, it's very surreal. I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Pappy.
You know, Jacob, and I agree with what you just said. And, you know, white people are altruistic. We feel sorry for underdog. We take in these. I'm not one of these big animal people, although I don't hate animals. I use them. I can use beagles to hunt with, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. We no longer can afford as a white race to be altruistic like this, except for our own people. I mean, for my God's sakes, they say that there's 4% of the Earth's population left as white. Probably not that much, Jacob. But, you know, we absolutely cannot afford to give another slice of bread away to a race other than ourselves. You know, what do you think about that? I mean, we have to kind of like circle the wagons, and because we're going for extinction. Once we get below a certain a level, we can't come back. The great what was it? Not Linus Pauling, the guy who invented the transistor. He said that once the white race, if we shrink, I don't think he's alive now. He said that once the population of the white race drops to below a certain level, he said we will never be able to come back because the gene pool that produces the genius that we've seen, people like that did produce the gene, the transistor, that produced electricity, that produced the cotton gin, that produced steel, produced the internal combustion engine. It'll be gone forever, Jacob.
Yes, and of course, you know, that's a big if there, but that is absolutely what the enemy is pushing towards. It's not an exaggeration because they have showed their hand now. This is, you know, despite all the rhetoric, like we talked about racial reconciliation, this is about overthrowing the capitalist American value or way of life. In places like Seattle, they're actively calling for, and sitting U.S. Senators and everything, like Ilhan Omar, are actively calling for the dismantling of American institutions. They're not talking about some organization that they think is corrupt. They're openly calling for the dismantling of American institutions. And what are they offering to propose it with? Communism and socialism. And whenever that happens, we have a long and blood-soaked history of mass murder. So this is not hyperbole. This is the coup de grace. You know, these people, whether they realize it or not, and if they don't realize it, then they're being rather stupid, to be frank. But what these people are pushing to implement has been multiple times throughout history the direct precursor to the rise of totalitarian regimes that have murdered untold numbers of people. And Christians are always at the top of their list.
Yes, to the tune of 66 million in Eastern Europe and Russia, according to the Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Jacob, we're almost out of time. Why don't you take us out go to the Lord in prayer to take us out?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again tonight. We come to you, Lord, with a heavy heart. We have talked about a great many issues of a very troubling and deeply disturbing nature. We cannot help but lament for the state of our nation, to see the insanity that unfolds before us and to behold the rampant devilry that is afoot. But Heavenly Father, we know that you are powerful, and we know that you give grace to the humble and you resist the proud. And we know, Lord, that the victory is yours. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we do and strengthen us and fortify us until that moment of your glorious, inevitable victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Jacob. Listen, people, that's it for the night. We will see you, God willing, next week, the 18th. Please pray for us. Pray for Blood River. Good night, everybody. Good night, Sam. Good night, Jacob.